Okay, so we're picking up. So I want to make two points in the remaining time. Okay, we have Brady back with us. Okay, so the first is that some achronim read this Yerushalmi in Perek Vav Halacha Beis above Mitzia as recording a machlokes amuraim between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan on whether a poel is gufo kanoi or not. So the Mishnah talks about chazara, kol mishana yadol tachtona, etc. Yerushalmi quotes Rav as saying ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. Ein Yisrael konin zeze. Right, so a Yisrael can't be kone another Yisrael. Right, so a kinin is not effective. Now, I just want to point out that in the Nose Kalim here, there's a bit of an ambiguity whether this means that a kinin is not effective
or
it's usser. Right, so like in like I think the Ridvaz or the Carbonetus says, oh, it just means it's usser to hire another Jew. But, you know, it doesn't take a stand on whether it's not legally binding, not legally valid. But the way the Machaneh Ephraim and the Nesivos understand this is that according to Rav, just there's no kinyan, poel is eino nikne, ein Yisrael konen zeze. Now, Rabbi Yochanan apparently disagrees in the Yerushalmi. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Eved Ivri, he, mas nisin. Our Mishnah is talking about an Eved Ivri. And although it's not so clear what that means, the way the Mefarshim take it is that, or the way the Yerushalmi itself takes it is Adalde de Rav, Bein Poel, Bein Balabayas Yachal Lachserbo. So according to Rav, either party can back out. Adalde de Rav Yochanan, Poel Yachal Lachserbo, Velo Balabayas. So the way the Machaneh Ephraim takes this is that according to Rav, there's no Kinyan Haguf in an Eved Ivri or Poel at all. According to Rav Yochanan, there is a Kinyan Haguf. Just that there's a Gzeres HaKasa, which gives the poel a right of exit. Okay? That's what the Machaneh Ephraim and Hilchos Shutfos Siman Beis explains the 2 days in the Yerushalmi. Okay. Now, so that's the explanation of the Machaneh Ephraim, and it's also the explanation of the Nesivos and Shin Lamed Gimel Vav. Okay? Does that sound right to you guys? Yeah. Okay. I mean, you read the Yerushalmi itself, it's not clear what it means, but that's the Machaneh Ephraim and the Nesivos take it. So, what stands out to you?
What it means.
What?
We don't find it compelling.
What?
You said it's not really, if you read the Gemara, it's not really what it means.
I said it's not clear that that's what it means. Yeah, you'll see. If you look at the Ridvaz and the, I think it's the name Moshe there, they have like a different explanation. But you see, both the Machaneh Ephraim here and the Nesivos say, oh, they're arguing about whether Poel Gufo Kanoi. Okay? Now, so is it Poel Lav Gufo Kanoi at all? Or is the Poel Gufo Kanoi just Kilibin Esau Lavadim is a Gzeres HaKasev to allow him to exit? Okay? That's the way the Mefarshim explain the Yerushalmi. So what strikes you just about the Yerushalmi's language? Or at least in the way the Yerushalmi parses out Rav's position. Ethan?
Seems like there's symmetry to the relationship.
Oh, this gets back to your sociology point, right?
Exactly.
So it's not
the ability to
excellent. Poel. If you would have asked me, I would have said, oh, if a poel is lav gufo kanoi, that means that the poel can back out.
Right?
The Yerushalmi understands that since Ein Yisrael Konin Zeseh, there are no property rights at all, so the Balabayas can just as easily back out as the Poel can. Because there's no kinyan, there's no binding ownership. See that? So this gets to Eitan's point, where until now we've really been talking about like house. We've been interpreting Kinyan in terms of, well, how stuck is the Poel? Right, to what extent is he like property of the master and subject to a Shtar Shichur, etc.? Yerushalmi now is saying, well, that there's reciprocity in the other direction. Well, how stuck is the Balabayas?
Right, we've seen this. Does that relate to how much Mechila is needed in order to
Does he need a kinyan or something?
Does he need like a get shukur or something like that?
Right. Correct. That That is related. That is related. But here it's in terms of can you back out almost without a penalty of breach?
Like at all, maybe with a get shukur?
Yeah. Well, again, if you hold like Rav that there's no kinyan, you wouldn't need to get shichrur. But are you even considered to be like in breach of the agreement, such that you're going to pay some sort of penalty or, right, knas or damages?
Well, that's what, I mean, the mission is pretty clear that yes, no. And at least I get to what Yoda talked about, that means, but we're not, I guess, dealing with that. But being, you know, there's probably some sort of loss if it goes with something negative happens.
So it's not clear. It's not clear if something happens, negative happens, on the assumption of Ein Yisrael Konen Zezeh. I think these Nosekelim think that Rav...
What would it mean to be Yadol Atachtona?
So I think Rav would hold that it's not Yadol Atachtona.
You disagree with the Mishnah?
If Ein Yisrael Konen Zezeh. Yes.
They're not just interpreting the Mishnah?
Correct. Because we'll see in the Bavli also, right? Once you're talking about a Poel, so a Poel is Yadol HaAlyona. And it sounds like Rav is going to say that either party who's chozer is Yadol HaAlyona because there's no kinyan, right? They're not leaving any binding relationship.
Let's see that there's no kinyan. Maybe there's a binding contractual relationship between them.
So I think Rav.
That Rav is saying there's literally nothing.
That's right.
But the Mishnah is saying that there's.
It's like
the Mishnah said you can't be chozer. Each side can be chozer, though. It's just that there are some ramifications of being chozer to be aware of. I don't see why you would say that just because Rav says the Yachol is the Zorro, that means that there's no ramification. He's reinterpreting the Mishnah, or he's disagreeing with it.
So let's see. Eitan?
Just out of your question, I'm just trying to compare some sheikhs. So the Shah, we talked about before, about right, if I pay up front the worker, and then I tell the worker, you're out, I don't need you anymore, and I don't have to pay. Let's get 50% of the work, and I don't have to pay the remaining thing once I get
there. Right.
So what's the relationship between that sheet and what we just saw in the Mishnah?
It's not clear, right?
Has the ability to pull out?
Not clear. We don't know. It's hard to know how those positions relate, if they do at all. Okay. Right.
So Machne Ephraim doesn't frame as Machloket.
He frames as Machlok.
That's how we hold. There's even actually things else. Mulha from the Bible is holding Rav. So, unless Machlok and Ephraim rejects that claim of Jesus,
yes.
Then he thinks that we hold it Rav. It also holds Rav Yochanan. It's not really, not necessarily an argument there. I mean, there is a new economy, but it's not clear why that's the difference on Machlok. Does that make sense?
And you think according to Machlok and Ephraim?
Claim that, oh, Rav will be able to. It might be
Mashma,
I'm not sure. Just, he doesn't say that.
Hmm. But then he doesn't really talk to Pierce Trebuchen on Sabar, Paul Gufo Conrad.
Right, and from the Bible, it's clear that there is a Mashma between Rav and Yochanan or something.
Right, but then he does say Belamanda Mehacha, I think, from Shitas Trebuchen in the Machan Ephraim. See? He starts off saying, oh, here's the.
Right, so the problem is, you know, the Nasibos think that it's partially Mashma
and Rav. And the Machan Ephraim is just assuming like a Yochanan or something. Right. Yeah, right. It is strange. Correct. Yeah. So the Nesivis here in Shin Lamed Gimel Vav is weighing in on a very important machlokas. So the point of the Nesivis, well, he's weighing in on a really important machlokas. Did anybody get a chance to see what that machlokas, the Ketzos and Shach is, that the Nesivis is weighing in on? Okay, so here's the case. I wish I had a marker. Any of you have a marker for the board? Where is Jonah, by the way? He's supposed to. He came for the schnapps and then he was gone.
Yeah, this whole marriage thing is kind of.
I'll have to give him some trouble.
Is Bob
okay? Bob? Oh, wow, very good. Who needs Jonah? This guy right here. Okay, so here's the case, right? So. So you have. So you have a 10 hour contract for. $10 an hour. and I hire Eitan to work for me. Eitan works for 5 hours. And then he walks off the job. Okay? How much is Eitan entitled to? What's his comp? What? Oh, sorry. So he works for 5 hours, and then the price of labor drops after he quits to $8 an hour after his chazara. Right, so it's going to cost me. I'm going to find a replacement for Eitan. Assume that the labor market is pretty is pretty full. Yeah, that's like more of a technical term. And so I could. It's pretty elastic. Maybe that's the term. And I could hire somebody $8 an hour to finish Eitan's work for the last 5 hours. Well, how much is Eitan entitled to be compensated? Okay, he's a Polish chazar. How much did Eitan get?
50.
Okay. So one view is that you should get $50. That was Ben's idea. You should get 50 on the theory of like quantum merit. Right? Meaning, how much benefit, how much service did he provide me? So we just pay him $10 an hour for $10 an hour for 5 hours, he gets $50. That's one view that we're showing
it. If you take that at that point in time, right? 5 years are important.
That's what Schaff's view. So we're basically just saying the agreement was for $10 an hour, the agreement was terminated at 5 hours, that's what he gets. Sos disagrees. I think it goes to 2 days in the tour already. We'll really see this in greater length when we get to Sukkah and Chazara. Like, Sos disagrees, and he says, no. The Poel gets what?
60.
How much?
60.
60. Who said that?
Yakir.
Was that Yakir or Gabe?
That was me.
It was Yakir, the mathematician. Yes. So Yakir, why should Eitan get $60?
Because I certainly skimmed the test, so I might be messing this up, but because of the way Giro Kesef works is that you to free yourself to have a neighbor, you pay what the value of the remainder.
Okay. So that's the formal reason. The more logical reason, and this is what the Ketos is getting at, is that you pay out the full value of the contract less the amount it's going to cost you extra. Sorry, you pay out the full value of the contract less your costs to finish it with other workers. Right, Yakir? And you're right, that's based off Giron Kesef. Correct?
Correct.
But the theory is that you're the theory is really that you're let's see if it's on my board. Yeah. The theory is that you're just paying out the full value of the contract of $100 minus the cost of completion, which is $8 an hour.
So you're buying him out of the contract.
Yes.
But Eitan's quitting.
That's what I was about to say.
He gets a windfall, right? Eitan gets a windfall.
But I should be punished for pulling out.
Okay, so we'll see that Halacha doesn't punish workers. That's part of the Schus Lachzor. So Eitan actually gets benefits from backing out. That's part of getting the Schach so upset. It's crazy, right? It's like Chote Niskar almost. But the Ksos says you get 60. So what's underlying the Machlokes, whether you get quantum merit, meaning the amount of benefit you provided, right, versus getting a full contract minus cost of completion? What do you think, Under? What do you think?
What's underlying the...
Yeah, what would determine whether you want to say Schach 50 or Ketzos 60?
Seems like Ketzos would be giving a benefit to the worker.
Yes, that's true.
Meaning even if
So let's take a look for a second. Here's the Nesivos inside, right? So the Ketzos says that he gets the 60 amount, and he compares it to Giron Kesef, as Yakir pointed out. The Shach disagreed and says, why should you ever give him Mechatesa Itan Lo Yoser Masha Asa, right? Why would you ever pay more than the actual labor that he performed, right? He performed $50 of labor, and yet he's walking away with a $60 payout. It gets the shafso worked up. So the Nesivis answers, oh, this is the machlokas in the Yerushalmi, whether Paul is gufo kanoi or lav gufo kanoi. And he says, according to Rav, that there's leka kinyan klal midoraisa bepoel Yisrael, so Paul is lav gufo kanoi at all. Therefore, on that theory, mimela balhabayis gam ken yachol lachzor. So any party could back out, right? The ein tzarich l'shalem rak midina degarmi. The only basis for penalties in breach is nezek. There's no payment under the contract. Okay? So if a balabayas were to back out, in principle, he shouldn't have to
pay on top of his paperwork.
He pays what the guy did, and he pays a little more if he damaged him. But so suppose the balabayas, not this case, but in general, he's saying on Rav's theory that there's no kinyan, so the balabayas could back out whenever he wants. Yes, there are times when if the balabayas backs out and the Eved can't find employment elsewhere, the balabayas will pay. But he's paying under what principle in halacha? Garmi, nezikin. Remember in the beginning of this man, we spoke about liability arising under bava kama and liability arising under bava mitzia. So the nesivus here is saying that if there's no kinyan, liability only arises under bava kama. That's why the only basis for paying would be dina de garmi. Right, so if I back out of a contract with Eitan, I'm employing him, he can't find labor elsewhere, I have to pay him for the damage of my backing out. Ulekach ein tzarich l'shalim lo rak ma'aseh hazika. I only pay the amount of damage. And then he goes further, he says, if it's bava kama liability in general, im nen nasa balabayis, vada de'ein balabayis chayiv medina degarmi. Right? If I have to back out of some sort of onus reason, I'd have an exemption under bava kama rules. I wouldn't have to pay my worker at all for the damage that he suffered because of my breach. Okay. And especially in the poel is chozer, etc., etc. So he's saying if you hold like Rav that there's no kinyan, the only basis for tashlumin more than the amount of work the poel provided is nezek, bava kama liability. And he says, therefore, if the poel backs out, the balabayas only has to pay whatever the worker did, right? Whatever labor he performed, even if the price of labor went down in the interim. Okay?
Right. Like he doesn't get that employer himself, so why should the balabayas?
That's right. Right. So he's saying, like, what? The only liability I have in the ketzosa, in the shach's world, in the $50, this thing. There's no kinyan, right? He's saying it's basically the Rav's view in the Yerushalmi. So Paul ain't no kanoi. So what do I owe him? Nothing. I just owe him to compensate him for whatever benefits. Like I benefited from his service, and I should compensate him, but I don't owe him anything else. Where's the nezek? He brought nezek upon himself by backing out. Contrast that with Rabbi Yochanan, who he says views the poel as a kind of an eved ivri and a kinyan. Okay, in which case, if there's a kinyan, so what does the balabayas owe him? The full value of the contract.
Maybe like similar to what we saw. It's similar to the shop that if you pay in advance.
Similar to that, correct. But except here, it's where the poel's backing out. Right? But yes, similar to Eitan's point in the shach.
This is almost like as if you already paid that amount. You already paid the $100.
Correct. Because he's entitled to it because he sold himself to you. He was Kone. You're entitled to not be put at a loss. Right? So you're not going to be at a loss at all. And that's the idea of Giron Kesef. Right? You just cheshbin, like, how much it's going to cost you to finish the labor. But the poel, in principle, is entitled to the full value of the contract as gufo kanoi. You see that? So here, gufo kanoi actually works at an advantage to the poel because it entitles him to the full contract. That's the idea. It's his already. And now when he's kozer, so we just apply the rule of giron kesef, which makes the bala bayis whole in any event. Ben.
The one thing that's in the most friction with this perspective is just the language. I don't know if you're big doctor, but the language of like $10 an hour. You can understand it's like, okay, you sold to me for 10 hours.
Yeah.
And there's no work in that that isn't really, like, the fact that it's broken down by $10 an hour to me really doesn't apply, though, that, like, each hour is its own unit of time. But I could buy into the conceptually, if Gufo's Conway, then it's this, like, larger
yes.
thing.
Correct.
Like, the hours don't really matter as much as, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yes, 100%. So I think you just have to view the hourly thing as, like, a non-essential way of just figuring out the how much he's entitled to. It's not like...
a way to divide the time.
Yeah,
like, it's not
something
bad.
Like that.
I mean, like, in a normal contract, that would be done at $10 an hour.
Correct.
But we're seeing the from Conway, it's not really broken down by hours. It's
something
it's,
like that.
It's
a contract. Right? Or it's not a contract, sorry. It's like a full... he's entitled to the full value of the sale of his services or something like that. Right? So when he agrees to... when there's a sale for 10 hours at $10 an hour, sorry, for 10 hours at $10 an hour, then he's entitled to $100, right? That's what he's entitled to for the sale. And then if he backs out, it just triggers this calculus of Giron Kesef, which preserves his entitlement to the full value, less the cost to the Baal Bayis. Yeah, you have a comment, or so. The point of the Nesivus is to say, Gufo Kanoi, Lav Gufo Kanoi determines this really fundamental question about how his compensation is structured in a case of breach.
So the first thing I want to point out is like this is a great Nesivus because it links up several of the issues along the conceptual lines that were
100%
drawn, and that's awesome.
100%, and he even says explicitly, as you pointed out earlier. Right? That the Shach is l'shitaso, the Shach himself doesn't say that his view of paying 60, of paying 50, stems from his view of Gufo Lav Kanoi. The Shach doesn't say that. But the Nesiva says, oh, the Shach is l'shitaso here because we know that the Shach is a Gufo Lav Kanoi man. And so it follows
proves
that,
it.
Well,
and, he proves it.
And he's saying, yeah, l'shitaso here. He says, oh, of course, you only get 50. Why should he be entitled for work he didn't do? Right? So that's beautiful, right? So exactly, a lot of these issues line up on... So I think the Nesivus brings together a lot of these different streams, right?
Go for it.
Here's just the quote. It says, V'chein kama pa'amim ma'asik ha'shach b'simen zed de'en la'bala bayis kenyan b'gufa po'al. Shitaso. Yeah, yeah.
When we have an event every paying regular year on Kesef, do we adjust that based on the new going rate for an event?
I think so. I think that's clearly what the Nesivus is assuming.
Okay. I was wondering about that.
Yeah, we're going to have to check. I think we're going to have to, either during a service mechu, or we're going to have to look into some evidentiary stuff to supplement.
Yeah,
I think it's inescapable. It's inescapable at this point.
Right.
I think, yes, we're going to have to look a little bit into the evidentiary rabbit hole. All right, good. Any other comments here? I think that's what I wanted to cover for this section.
I just have one comment.
On Thursday, we'll talk about these in-between views that go for... Kenyan begufo limilachto and Kenyan agufo peirosav, which I think is like an in-between path. We've been talking about like contract versus Kenyan, and these next views that we'll see are going to try to give like Kenyan views that are like somewhere in between. Okay.
Ben likes to say hybrids.
Hybrid views. All right, good. All right, Yishkoach, Gabe, and Yakir. We're going to stop here and we'll pick up on Thursday.
We're leaving right now, don't worry. I just had a question. Could it be that according to Kesos,